It's Mary
and Jenny,
and we came into our identities in our 30s.
This is Queerly,
where we do life in community.
Happy New Year!
Hello, hello, hello!
Welcome back!
Welcome back. We're back. It's been an amazing holiday. Mm-hmm. I feel super rested, but I've also missed you. I've missed Queerly.
I've missed you a lot.
I've missed the queer dope souls. So it's really good to be back.
Yeah, I'm really excited to be back. I'm excited to, you know, start off this year with talking about seasons today. Seasons of change, all different types of seasons.
Right.
But yeah, just excited to be talking to you again.
Same. I'm so excited. So I have a question for you, Jenny. What's your joy for this episode?
Yeah, so for this episode, we just had the Lunar New Year. So that is 100% my joy. My mom was in town, so I got to finally celebrate with her again. She usually comes in town for the Lunar New Year pre-pandemic, but since the pandemic, she hasn't been here. So this was the first one back. And anytime she's here to celebrate, she likes to have like mine and my brother's friends over to celebrate our culture and just spend time with, you know, friends and family. So that is my joy. I do know that this was a very heavy one. And so at the same time, my non-joy is that the joy felt like not taken away, but it just felt different this year because of the mass shootings that happened.
So that was very sad.
Yeah. So very heavy, heavy emotions for, you know, a time where we're celebrating joy and culture with our family, with our community. And to have that happen, I think just makes you realize how sick our society is.
It is really a very sad instance. And right now, I hope whatever we say will never bring back those people. But I do hope that their families are comforted and find some kind of rest and peace during this time.
Yeah.
Because it was very tragic, shocking and tragic.
Yeah. Just heavy.
Yeah.
Heavy emotions.
Yeah. Quite
but
heavy.
Yeah. But yeah, that doesn't take away from the joy that I did feel with you being there, with my mom being here, with my, you know, with being able to share my culture with my friends. So what's your joy?
You know, in the same line as you, this year was my first time to be invited to share in the celebrations of the Lunar New Year. And yours truly, Jenny, invited me to share this special moment with our family, and that was incredibly, incredibly special, incredibly important to me. Just to see what you do around the Lunar New Year, and to see some of the customs, that, you know, certain things like the giving tree, and how the young ones receive like a red envelope with money in it, but also everyone, it's like really a giving ceremony because everyone else got a red envelope. Actually, you know, the red envelope that I got from your family, I put it towards my trust fund, my travel fund.
Oh,
so
yay.
I got the note and put it in my travel box.
I love that.
But outside of that, it was a very special moment for me, one, to spend with your family, but two, to see into what you as an American Vietnamese hold special.
Yeah.
And because I also did, you know, I'd been doing a couple of research about Lunar New Year, so I kind of had like insight into what it is exactly. So that was my special joy, and I'll just follow along as Jenny has shared, because her joy, if that's a word, my unjoy is right now there's a lot of homophobia that's rising up in Uganda, and it's kind of making me sad because it's so baseless. You know, people in parliamentarians are saying all these, you know, nasty things about people, and it's kind of making me sad. So that's my unjoy. But the joy overshadows that. And I'm just happy to be back and talking about season. So let's dive in.
Yeah, let's dive in. I mean, Mary, you had a lot of research that you were sharing a little bit earlier. So however you want to start.
Yeah. So it's intriguing. New things are always intriguing to me. Like a new pair of shoes, a new job, a new everything. And like, so I was thinking about the concept of new seasons because it's different for everyone. Like for someone that's getting married or someone that just got married to someone that they love, that begins a new season in their life. For a mother or a father that has a baby, then that begins a new season of being a parent in their life. Mm-hmm. And so I was looking at seasons in relation to what has been happening all around us. Like we had, you know, the winter season, but you know, in the winter season, there's all kinds of celebrations, like, you know, Christmas for some people, Hanukkah for some people, but there's also the new year that some people celebrate. And as a new season is sort of like a new beginning. And that feels very special to me because a new beginning sort of gives you a chance to reflect, but then gives you a chance to start with renewed energy. And so, you know, I looked at like a birthday, for example, is a new season. Yeah. I just had my birthday in December. So for me, I began a new season and I'm like so into astrology. So that's like my new solar year. Like I have a season that started because I'm made 41. And so 41 is like my new season and I'm experiencing all these things that come along with that. Also, I believe in the astrological new year, which is the Aries season, which begins in March. And for me, it makes so much sense because nature is renewed at that point. Yeah, like it in the spring. Blooms. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people even have spring festivals. And then I actually also did research about the Lunar New Year because it's celebrated in countries like Vietnam, like China, but those are not the only countries that celebrated. But it's aligned to the Lunisolar New Year. Yeah. And I was like, this is impressive because it aligns with nature. Mm-hmm. It aligns with the cosmos, like the cycle of the moon. Yeah. And I was like, wow.
Which I feel like makes so much more sense than the Gregorian calendar.
Right? You know? Yeah, it makes so much sense. And it's on the new moon. So the Lunar New Year usually follows the cycle of the new moon.
Yes.
Yeah. And I was like, wow, that's impressive because new means like sort of like a new beginning. I even dived ahead because like, okay, I'm African. Let me look at like what Africans sort of celebrate as their new seasons. And I found something about South Africa. So their new season actually begins at the end of a dry season, which is usually in August. And so I was like, oh, this is even different. Their new year begins in August and usually they give that first harvest to their god. And there's a name of the god, but I really can't pronounce it and I don't want to butcher people's culture. But that was like quite incredible for me. And so I was like, okay, that is South Africa. That's not my root. So I dive deep even into like the culture where I come from. I'm a Muganda. And we have the 12 months, the Gregorian 12 months translated into my language. Mm. But in my language, it's not a direct translation of what the Gregorian calendar is. It's a reflection of what happens during that time in the year. So because I really believe in March as the new year, I went to look at the month year, which is it's a mouthful. Hold on. I need to get it. The word is Mugulansigo. So Mugulansigo basically means go buy seeds. And so it was named that because it's the month where farmers are preparing their gardens for planting, which is like planning for a new season of like growth. So I was like, okay, yeah, my culture too follows the seasons. But yeah, it was really eye-opening for me that we can see new beginnings all around us in the cosmos and we can align. And I think we can align who we are to what's happening in nature. And I thought that that was extremely beautiful.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa. So now, even if I follow the Gregorian calendar, which is January 1st, and I celebrate it because I spent it with my friends, I think in my heart, my new season for me personally is on my birthday, which is in December. And then in March, which aligns with like either spring festival or Aries season or for my country, which is Mugulansigo, where farmers like buy seeds. And Yeah. I want to talk about like what reflections we had, mm-hmm. you know, from the past season and like how we're going ahead.
Yeah.
I think.
Well, for like, I'll just like piggyback off you for like seasons. I love the Lunar New Year. And I think for a long time, because we've just grown with like the Gregorian calendar, when I was in Vietnam, when I was younger, I would always see like the calendar by the moon, you know, but I never really understood it when I was younger. But now I'm understanding it more, and it just makes more sense to me, especially because if tides are affected by the moon, what's to say that our bodies aren't? So then my friend was telling me about like how our cycles, like women's cycles, how wherever it lands, like in relation to the moon, will also reflect like how you will also be too, right? So then our bodies are changing. We have seasons. So I think about that too. So this past Lunar New Year, I do feel like this is a new season for me after this Lunar New Year. Whereas like in past years, it'd be like, okay, January 1st, New Year. All right, you know? And I never really have like New Year's resolutions, but right. But I feel like I am with this season and with more understanding of this part of like my culture and more with astrology and more learnings from the cosmos. It just seems more aligned with me as a person and an individual in my life and how I'm moving with my purpose or, you know, with my chart. Like I have a better understanding of that and not like rejecting that.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
I even like the fact that you brought in the cycle of the moon. There's something I read somewhere and I can't really talk about it that well because I don't remember the details, but it was talking about is time an illusion. And so they were talking about the Gregorian calendar that we follow, and there's like these, I don't know, complex things that keep time, and the time isn't always the same, and the length of the days and nights are not always the same. I think it has to do something with the rotation along yeah. the elliptical something. So they have to, it's like it has to be changed to fit within.
To fit within that calendar.
Gregorian calendar. But yeah, me too. But it's not necessarily. And that's why I like the flow of this, because sometimes the new moon doesn't fall on the same day every year. Yeah,
that's why the Lunar New Year. Yeah. So in Vietnamese, it's called Thet.
Yeah.
It falls on a different day every year.
Right.
So sometimes it could be the end of January or it could be in February. So it's usually around that same time, but it really follows the moon.
Yeah, because yeah. some days are longer than the other yeah. because of, I think, the elliptical path.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is everything an illusion? For me growing up, I think in the system that I was raised, I think they kind of like ignored some of the natural things that we used to do. So we weren't taught those things. And I think there was like this undertone that how people used to measure time, which was really using the moon season and the sun,
yeah.
was kind of like not real or like, okay, it was looked down upon. That's the impression I got. Not that anyone said anything, but now that I'm older, it actually makes more sense. And there's even science to prove it. And I wish I could talk about that article so people could read about yeah. how time is manipulated to fit within.
Yeah.
Within, you know, so that the economy can function, so that there's like,
yeah, it's a social time that construct.
But it's kind of like really, and it's amazing when you talk about Lunar New Year and then I land on all these different cultures yeah. that say like, March or astrology that goes with, yeah. and also with astrology, the Aries season sort of is not always the same day. So, but for this year, it's March 21st.
Oh,
yeah.
That was something that I just learned is yeah. the astrology calendar starts with Aries.
Yeah.
I didn't know that before. That was cool.
Yeah. So Aries is number one.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, like I love my birthday because it's in the spring. I'm a Gemini. So I do like the spring as like a new beginning or yeah. I liked what you said earlier too, how you don't like New Year's resolutions.
I do not.
Yeah. So yeah, can you touch on that a little bit more?
So the reason I don't like New Year's resolutions is because it feels like there's a hard stop to a goal. It feels, okay, the way I grew up, that was sort of like the impression I got, or how we looked at it, because it would be like, what are your New Year's resolutions? And I wasn't like given time to look back and sort of like reflect, or like feel like it's a continuous cycle. So there was like always like some new resolution every year, and then sometimes along the way you kind of like forget about it.
Yeah.
So I never do New Year's resolutions, especially around January like everyone else. I just believe in more like things I'm gonna lean into, reflection of what happened in the previous months. What am I doing better? And then I have overall goals where I'm like in 5 years' time, this is where I wanna be. And so those are the goals I keep working towards. And sometimes those will switch.
Yeah.
During reflection, you'll be like, okay, but that's not attainable. So yeah, I really and they're not sustainable resolutions, because you know then like a fad in that
it
moment.
It seems like it's so you're pressured.
Yes, exactly. That's the word. Yeah.
Having to have a resolution.
Yeah.
For the year.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you're right. Like, I don't think I always got high anxiety when someone would ask me like, what are your New Year's resolutions? You know? So I never really had them.
Yeah.
But I think what I liked more of that you spoke of earlier is, yes, reflection of the past. Mm-hmm. And then what is your intention for, whether it's for this new moon,
right,
which is just this one cycle,
right,
what is your intention for, you know, this season?
Because
people can look at seasons differently.
Yeah. Can I blow you away?
Yeah.
So you know that you can make an intention for the new moon and you'll realize it at like the next full moon, which is a 6 month journey. And it's true. Like if you plant a seed, in 6 months, it's going to be somewhere. You can look back and assess at the next full moon.
Why where 6 months for the moon cycles?
Yeah.
But why 6 months?
That's when the next full moon in that same, like let's say we have a new moon in Capricorn.
Oh, so then the full moon in Capricorn will be 6 months later.
Yeah. Is that mind blowing?
Wow.
And then you can look back and say, did I make any progress?
I don't know why. I haven't like really dived into astrology that much, but I never heard that from someone explaining it that way, where if you make an intention for this new moon, in what is
the
it
results,
called?
Like you can start to assess it in after 6 months.
Yeah.
Because
it would be the full moon in whatever placement
that
it is.
Yeah.
Or what do you say it?
Let's say the new, in that placement or that sign. Like let's say
New moon in the sign.
Yeah. Like Capricorn. So then the next full moon, because that's 6 months and you can and that's using nature, using the cosmos to sort of like, and that's what farmers did long time ago. Mm-hmm. They didn't have, and I'm glad we have all these devices and tracking systems. They are amazing. But also our people looked at the solar system, you know, the moon, to sort of like tell the cycles in nature. And our bodies still do that. Like us women, you know, like you mentioned before, we still have those monthly cycles, you know.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful.
Yeah.
For me, it's just beautiful to see that you can align yourself with nature, and it just feels right.
Mm-hmm.
It just, even like you're sitting down to reflect on the past year of your birthday, you as an individual, like you know, your 12 months come again, you know, on your birthday. That's beautiful, because it makes you so unique.
Mm-hmm.
You have your own new beginning.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful. But
that, like, and speaking of birthdays,
and
I use this now, but my best friend, she always asks on your birthday, what are three highlights from the last year? What are two things you learned? And what is one thing you're looking forward to? So she always asks for like our birthdays that. And now I have like adopted that and use it with my friends. And I love that, because it's a moment of reflection and then something that you're looking forward to or excited about. But it makes you stop and really think about like, your past year.
Yeah.
And you're, like you said, your birthday is so special and unique to you.
Yeah. And then knowing that it's continuous, there's no hard stop.
Yeah.
Like you don't just leave 2022 behind.
Yeah.
There's moments in 2022 that have laid the foundation for 2023. And yeah. So it's kind of like,
so many things that you've learned in 2022 will yeah. come back in 2023.
Yeah.
In one way or another.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. So I'm just very intrigued and just very excited by nature and being able to align myself to nature, but also very thankful for, you know, technology in itself, yeah. you know, the beautiful moments that technology is able to lend us. But in new seasons, new intentions, things to look forward to, mm-hmm. things you're leaving in the past or things you're leaving behind or whatever, things you're leaning into. Do you want to share?
Yeah, anything? I mean, what if we use my best friend's questions?
Yeah, like, I love that. Can we do that?
Yeah, let's do
yes,
it.
Yes, let's do it.
So we can start with three things that were highlights from the last year. And that can be from the year prior to like your birthday.
Mm-hmm.
It could be the last Lunar New Year. Mm-hmm. It could be the last astrology season. Like
right.
however you want to look at your season.
Mm-hmm.
What are three highlights from that season?
So I'm going to use my birthday because it's unique to me.
Mm-hmm.
Three highlights. One, Queerly.
Mm-hmm.
You do not know people. Anyway, you know, because we talk about it all the time. But for me, Queerly and being able to do this with Jenny was a culmination of how we wanted to give back. And it's not easy, but for me, it was the highlight of last year because I stepped out of my comfort zone into something I'm not familiar with, and it's been beautiful. There have been different learning moments, so that's one. Queerly is definitely one. Two, I would say, was being able to step fully into my identity, even if the process started earlier on. But I feel like in that past season, I fully stepped into who I was as a queer Black woman.
Yeah.
Proudly, actually. That was like a huge highlight. It might not mean a lot to some people, but for me, even to be able to express myself outwardly, like I love sneakers, like being able to put on sneakers without being worried that I'm going to be perceived as like more masculine or whatever.
Yeah.
It's big. Third one is, to me, it's special. I met a friend that we live on continents, like different continents. I've learned a lot from her.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to think she's learned a lot from me. And that friendship has been very special to me because she's been there in probably ways that wouldn't make sense to someone who can say, wait, you guys are on continents apart. How can you be there for each other? But it's taught me a lot.
Yeah.
And that's something that I consider a highlight.
That's beautiful.
Yay. What about you?
Man, I wish I had more time to think about this, but I would say I agree with the first one with you, with starting Queerly. I think that was something that I was really excited for. And I feel like this is the most different project I've ever embarked on that feels fully authentically me. Like, no compromises, nothing. It's, we were in flow for this to even get to where we are. Like, we were so aligned with ourselves and aligned with the message that we wanted to send and like really living authentically ourselves that made us want to do this. And it just flowed so beautifully and naturally, organically.
You're making me emotional. Like, seriously.
But it's true. Like, oh, I love you, Mary.
Same.
That was.
Yeah. It. Okay. I know that makes me emotional too, like thinking about it. Yeah. It's beautiful. Yeah, so Queerly is a huge highlight for me. Secondly, I think another highlight is really like building my relationship with my partner. I think, and this can like tie into like my learnings too, but truly feeling what a healthy relationship like feels like, and to go through the challenges and to have that like unconditional love, or like wanting to be better for each other, or wanting to be better for ourselves, to be able to build a better relationship with each other. I think that's a huge highlight for me, is like just the building upon my relationship with my partner. And like, this is my first, you know, queer relationship, so I've definitely learned a lot, but I'm so grateful for what it has taught me. And so that is for sure a highlight for me. It's just all of the learnings from that. And then thirdly, a highlight is my community, my work community, my family community, my friend community. I went through a really hard last year, losing a friend, and to have that community and support and love there just made such a huge difference. As you go through the grieving stages, to have love and to like feel love, even though maybe you don't want to accept it at the time, but to have that there is just, it's life-saving, you know, and it just makes you feel supported. So I would say that.
That's very my three beautiful. Highlights. It's yeah. very beautiful. And of course, I know about Queerly, but I've seen you and your partner like grow over the past season has been beautiful to watch.
Aww,
entirely
thanks,
beautiful.
Mary.
Yeah. Yeah. Really beautiful. And I've learned
yeah
a lot from you. Especially the one thing I appreciate that I've learned from you, and I'm still growing into that, is communicating in the moment.
Yeah.
Like in the moment. That communication, so you can so there's an understanding on both parts.
Yeah.
And I think that has been beautiful to learn from you, but also to see you practice that. For those who don't see, we're snapping.
Maybe you can hear it in the background. Okay, so the next one is two things that you've learned in the last season.
I will say there's been amazing highlights in the last season, but it was also that season had a little bit of intensity, some difficult moments to navigate. One of the things I have learned, and I think I just talked about it, is the ability to communicate honestly, frankly about my feelings in the moment.
Yeah.
For those that do not know me, I'm just going to be a little vulnerable, is I tend to, I'm a people pleaser. It's something I'm learning to grow out of. It's also something I visited a lot in therapy last year, you know, to find ways to grow out of that. And so I think one of the downfalls of being a people pleaser is sometimes something could happen that you might be happy about or you might be unhappy about, but you do not say because you don't want to ruffle feathers, or you're trying to avoid conflict.
Yeah.
And over the years, of course, that has been it's not been a good thing in many of my interactions or relationships. But last year, I think you practicing that with me was really good. And I think I eventually realized it's actually safe. And so I practiced talking more. And then also, like, I had this thing, like, I can have intuitions about things, but I'm scared of saying them because I'm like, I don't know what the other person is going to think. And then I don't say them, but then that person is actually thinking the same thing. And then when you get the courage to say it, the person is like, affirming what you've said. So that's one thing I learned last year.
It's more difficult to practice that within, conflict, especially, or difficult emotions, right? So then you tend to keep that to yourselves when it's with a friend or, you want to keep the peace or harmony, but that friendship isn't going to grow,
right?
Unless you practice going through the seasons of a friendship,
right?
Too.
Yes.
Because that is true. Like, if you truly are going to grow as an individual, your relationships are going to grow with your friends, family, partner. So you have to constantly adapt and grow and evolve with that too.
Yeah. So that was, I'm not yet there 100%.
Yeah.
But it's coming to that realization in my head that you're better off communicating something than trying to keep the peace, because also communicating something is, you're sort of like setting a boundary. And if someone cares about you or whatever that is, maybe it's a transactional thing or a relationship, they will respect that. And if someone doesn't receive your feelings or your feedback, then they don't care. But it's been beautiful to practice that, saying what I feel, even it's spilling over in other relationships that I have, and seeing the growth in that area. So that's been one great thing. And then another thing that I've learned is my value does not equal public praise.
Ooh.
The value of who I am.
Wow.
And so I think what that means, okay, I'll explain it in this way. I have a hobby that I turned into a business, and sometimes you might not make sales. And as someone, entrepreneurs know this, sometimes you can tie your value to that. And when you don't make sales, then you think you have no value. And that's not what it is. You're going to be someone who has value whether someone is buying your product or not, whether you post something, let's say on social media, whether you get a like or not, you're still going to be someone who's valuable. And understanding that, maybe it also comes with age, understanding that I've got value outside of the public, public things, likes, whatever.
Yeah.
It's been a journey, but there's a certain inner satisfaction that it has given me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like
ding,
that.
Ding, ding, ding. What about
those
you?
Good.
What have been things that you've learned or?
Yeah. Two things I've learned in the last season would definitely be, one of them would be communication with conflict or difficult conversations that, could be at work, in my personal life, with my friend group, whatever that may be. I think I've learned the most in being able to communicate how I feel so that I feel seen and heard, but also holding space for the other person who might not agree or feel the same way. And I know that's ongoing. I know I've had difficult conversations before, but I feel the past season for me has been testing me a lot with that. That is a result of learning more about how to navigate my triggers. Those two things went hand in hand for me. Because there were triggers that came up, I had to learn how to navigate that and then learn how to communicate that, but also communicate that with someone else. So that was a huge learning for me. I would say that is one of the biggest that I will take away and continue to evolve with. And then secondly, I mentioned earlier, I lost a friend, and grief. I don't think I had ever felt grief the way that I did when I lost that friend before. And the grieving process was very, very difficult for me. I know, like, in one of our, like, first episodes when we were, you know, we were talking about, like, our healing journey and self-love and, like, what we, like, our journeys. And you had said, like, healing is not linear. And I remember us talking about that. But also, grieving is not linear.
Never is.
It's never. You can go through the five stages, but you will always have grief. And I know we'll touch on this in another episode, but that was, like, a huge learning from me where it was very, very tough. So that, yeah, for me would have to be, like, just navigating grief.
Thanks for sharing.
Yeah.
That's really, I know, deep. It's really deep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So thanks for sharing. And yeah. I find it interesting that we both had a journey of learning something to do with communication.
That's yeah, big. What's going on in the cosmos there?
Yo, what's going on?
What's going on, Mary? Let us know.
Yeah, we want to know. But that's interesting to note. And I would be curious to know what other people have been learning in their seasons.
Yeah, I would love to hear.
It would be curious. Yeah.
So the last question that she would ask is, what is one thing you're looking forward to? But I think for us, because we were talking about intentions, I would love to know, like, what is your one intention maybe for this next season or this next cycle, whether that's, like, the moon cycle or this next month or your next season, whatever you want to look at. How about we talk about what our intention is?
I have so many intentions, but now I'm thinking, are they intentions or are they goals? But I think I'll try and lean into one intention. I think that I can see that's been a thread. Mm-hmm. And my intention for this coming season is to lean more into giving and developing intimate friendships. And I'll explain where I'm coming from. We live in a world that glamorizes romantic relationships. Yeah. Everyone desires to be in a romantic relationship. And Hollywood hasn't made that any better. Neither have the romance movies or the songs that we listen to haven't made that any better. And you find that that one relationship is really highlighted, and we never highlight friendships.
Yeah.
No one ever talks about how important it is to have even two very good friends. Mm-hmm. Just two. But friends hold you.
Yeah.
And we don't talk about how important it is to give time to a friendship. Mm-hmm. How important it is to cultivate a friendship. Like, what is wrong with me telling Jenny, hey, we need to spend time together? And it might not even just be Jenny, but I could have a group of friends, like maybe four queer women, mm-hmm. and we are intentional about that friendship. Maybe we set time up every month for a check-in. How are you doing? For a fun activity, for things like that. And over the past seasons, I've thought about when I came into my identity, how lonely it was. I mean, you were there, your partner, you were the people that, you know, held me at some point.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying my straight friends weren't there, but I want to lean more into cultivating intimacy and intentionality in my friendships. And they don't have to be a million friendships.
Yeah.
Even if it's just three friendships. Mm-hmm. That's where I'm leaning.
Doesn't have to have a number on it.
Yeah. I want to have
just the quality of that friendship.
Exactly. I want to have barbecues, just hosting my friends, and we're just talking about life. I want to check in on them. I'm not a phone person, but I want to call and say, hey, Jenny, how are you doing today? I just wanted to check in. Or send a text or buy a gift, like see something and be like, oh, this reminds me of my friend Esther, or this reminds me of my friend, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I want to lean into that.
I love that you mentioned that. Yeah. And this is so wild because when I was thinking about what I wanted to do differently this year was in the same line as you, where I told myself, okay, every Friday I should just send a check-in text to someone who I haven't spoken to in the last 3 months. And that's so wild that you say that. I mean, that wasn't the intention that I was going to say. That was just like something that I want to do to be better at.
Yeah.
But it just goes so much in line. Like, we need to normalize healthy friendships and like really deep, intimate friendships. Just last night, I was with two of my closest friends. We literally talked for like 9 hours straight without having that time still feel too short.
That's priceless.
Yeah.
That is so priceless.
So it's just like, normalizing that more, cultivating that more.
Yes.
Yeah. And really being intentional about that. Oh, I love that, Mary.
Yeah. Because it's not something that actually comes naturally for me, I have to say. Mm-hmm. So this is really a big intention.
Yeah.
It means I have to be vulnerable and.
Yeah. I think for me, wanting to reach out to people more, because sometimes I can really get tunnel visioned and like what's going on in my life and what things need to be done that I don't reach out and connect. But I think after losing my friend, you know, that's one of the stages of like grief, is like you're thinking the worst is going to happen, and you shouldn't think that way, but I kept thinking like, I want my friends to know how much I love them.
Yeah.
I want them to know that I am here for them.
Yeah
So like my intention for this year, or like this season ongoing, really is really to align. And I was telling you about this earlier, to really align more with my purpose. And it's really hard for me to like know what my purpose is. Mm. And I feel like that's ever evolving, what your purpose is. But what I have right now and how I feel aligned to me, mm-hmm. I want to be more intentional about that.
That's beautiful.
And like whatever interaction I have, you know, or in whatever things I do. So
that's beautiful.
That falls in line with like, just like building these relationships and friendships more.
Yeah. I had to sit down to realize that even I personally had glamorized a romantic relationship.
Yeah.
Because that's all I was ever aspiring to.
Yeah.
But friendships hold us down.
I'm so in love with my friends.
Let's talk about it.
I'm so in love with my friends.
I don't think I can use the same words.
That's just how I express it.
No, I think it's beautiful that you express it that way. For me, it's more of a challenge. Like, I do very well in non-intimate group settings. Because I don't have to be vulnerable. I'll just come in and be like, yo, let's go. And, make the kind of noise. But being vulnerable and zoning in on like a few people becomes very hard because I get overwhelmed by emotions.
Yeah.
It's very overwhelming. And so I would avoid it. But I want to cultivate that. Because I've been taking the back seat. Like, all these people that are amazing to me are the ones that always check on me, always, let's do this, let's do this. And all I do is respond. I mean, response is great. But I think it would be good if I also made the first move.
Yeah.
So let's go, Jenny.
That's beautiful.
Let's make some friends.
Let's make friends. Or just love on the friends that we have right
let's
now.
Let's love on the friends. No, because I don't intend to go out and make new ones. I intend to love the ones that I've had. And I think I love you guys. I know you know who you are. I love you so much. Yeah.
Oh, I love you, Mary.
I love you too, Jenny.
All of our friends. I love our community. Yeah. I love you, friends.
Yeah.
Never forget.
We love you.
We love you.
We love you so much. Until next time.
Until next time. That I feel like that is our queerly noted.
Yeah.
We'll just say that. That's our queerly noted. Love y'all.
We love you all.
If you want to support Queerly, follow, rate, and leave a review on the podcast platform of your choice.
We would love to hear from you. So please reach out to us at hi.queerly@gmail.com or follow us on Instagram at Queerly Community. That's QUEERLYQMUNITY.
Love y'all.